Yeah, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all of the latest sporting action from around the Rebel County. But we're going national first, and we're going to hear now from Andy Farrell and Captain Caelan Dorris in the post-match presser after Ireland Rugby's 20-13 win over Italy at the Aviva Stadium.
We were playing against a very good Italian side that was never going to go away, because the recent history shows us that of how they've been performing. But obviously it was more than that, wasn't it? They was trying to batter the door down at the end there. So the resilience that we showed to win the game was fantastic to see. So that's the bigger picture stuff. Obviously there's too many errors within our game at certain times, but the character shown to come back and have the courage to play the type of rugby that we did at times was very encouraging, to say that we was under a bit of pressure, like, you know. So I mean, the try there that we scored with all those phases was as good a try as we've ever scored. So it just shows that we're able to back ourselves. And I think on top of that, you know, the experience that some of these lads are getting is absolutely huge. I said outside there, and you might have seen it, that you know, the lads that are watching in the stand or at home who are not here, the big names, the lads that have been there and done that, they've been through all this. Like, you know, they've been through this type of pressure and come out the other side, and they've grown because of it. And these lads that managed to do that today, to stand up tall, it will certainly stand to them. So delighted with the win against a very good Italian side.
Caelan, that's the first time Italy ever led Ireland at half time in a match here in Dublin in the Six Nations. What was the central team at the half time team talk, or how concerned were you at that point?
Not overly. There was a pretty good feeling despite the result at half time. Like, there was lots of good intent, and when you've got intent, it's just little fix ups that you can get on top of. So there's a different feeling to last Thursday. And when you have the intent, you can build on that, and I think that's what we did in the second half.
Thanks. Suzanne?
Yeah, Andy, just obviously Balakun named man of the match, and he really was a shining light out there, like in the air and also with his footwork and his try. Just how impressed were you with him, I suppose?
Delighted for him, because, you know, we've obviously had a few caps before, but it's been stop-start, and it's been frustrating for him. The talent's there for everyone to see when he puts the Ulster jersey on, to get the opportunity now coming back into fitness and to show what he can do at this type of level is very pleasing for him and for the rest of us. To see him believing in himself and backing himself, not just beating people and scoring tries, but winning balls in the air, and very good defensive decision maker as well. So delighted for him.
You're going to have a lot of competition in those women's spots now.
Well, that's what we're after, aren't we? We're after people putting their hands up. So yeah, there'll be a few headaches for next week, that's for sure.
Thanks. Luke, Keane and Kieran.
Hi, Andy.
Hi.
We'll just ask you about Stuart McCluskey and playmaking today.
He was excellent, yeah.
His role, Jamie Osborne's try, the quarterbacks of a pass for Rob Balakun, shows that he has more than just that physicality.
Well, he carried really well for us in parts last week, but there's more to his game than that, and he knows there's more to his game. And he certainly addressed that this week, as far as how he made others feel around the park as well, with his ability to not just take the ball to the line, but to offload. And I thought he was a great line by Jamie, but Jamie knows who to follow because Stu's so good at that.
Thanks, Kim.
And is your overriding emotion relief that you got the win, or frustration?
No. Frustration or relief?
No, the bonus point at the end.
Oh, well, I mean, I thought Jack played outstandingly well when he came on, you know, so actually gutted for him, because, you know, he wouldn't normally do that. I mean, there's a few things to check there as far as offside and jumping up and down.
in his eye line for the kick, but still, it was a bit of a shank, but that wouldn't be the overriding thought of what I take from Jack's game. I thought he was outstanding when he came on.
And you knew your team were coming with a strong scrum threat today.
Yeah.
Your team
well, not too well at times, obviously. I mean, Dan and Tig get in the wings a couple of times, said quite a bit, didn't it, really? And it's phenomenal how quickly they've come on over the last year. Part of the reason, I think, I'm just talking out loud here, of why South Africa was so dominant against us is because Italy put them massively under pressure the week before, and there was a reaction to that. That doesn't make it right, I know, point, but the scrum has been phenomenal now for the last 12 months, that's for sure. I thought probably one of the best parts of our game today was when Tom O'Toole came on. Not had much experience, certainly at this level anyway. But that scrum under our post, 5 metres out, that was rock solid. That had been under pressure all afternoon, and for Jamie Osborne to put that ball out on the halfway line or near it was a big moment in the game for us.
Ruth,
Andy, what do you need to do now for Twickenham coming up next week?
Well, we need to celebrate Edwin's first cap, that's for sure, because it's one hell of a story, and I'm so pleased that we're able to get a win and show some fight to be able to get a win for him, because his story's a phenomenal one, so we'll celebrate that with him. And you know, everyone's talking up England, and rightly so, because the form is good, and playing some good rugby. We know the run that they're on. Obviously, they're playing as we speak now. But it's another fantastic experience for us. It's a big away game. We had one of those last week. We didn't turn up for that. We need to learn some lessons from it. But we've a big test coming up, and we need to get excited about that. And we are, because it's another experience that'll stand to us.
Okay. Any further questions for Caelan before finish? Murray, last question.
And you said I think the Rob Alacrity try is one of the best you've ever scored. What did you like about it?
The flow, the continuity, the speed of it, the want to call the play that we wanted to happen, rather than just settle for something that was conservative or setting stuff up, and being able to play to space early. And Jack was at the forefront of that.
And Caelan, just on that score, as players, how does it feel when you get into that stage with your game?
Feels like, say, you're playing from instincts as opposed to being in your head too much. Thought there was some very good attack even in the first half, and we didn't convert the pressure into points, which we'll need to do next week, but felt like there was some nice attack, definitely.
All right, brilliant stuff there from Andy Farrell and Caelan Doris. Well, maybe not so brilliant, in Ireland weren't so brilliant today anyway, beating out the Italians 20 points to 13, fairly nervy for a lot of parts of that game. But speaking of celebrating, Cork's own Edwin Odogbo there, as Andy mentioned, Rachel Sheehan of Off the Ball was down Leaside during the week to speak to Cove Pirates about the upcoming rugby star.
I would this is an inspirational day. This is an inspirational day now for everybody. And we're here on a Saturday morning where the minis are out in the pitch and, you know, getting ready to I suppose, show off their rugby skills. And, like, he is such a huge role model for all of those kids now. Coming from a junior club, a non-rugby playing school, into the Munster Academy, and all the pathway right now to making the Irish squad. Like, any of the young boys and girls out there this morning would only be just so, so happy if they could, you know, fulfil their dreams just like Edwin.
And a completely non-traditional way heading in, he was actually down here watching his younger brother Sean playing, I believe.
Sorry, say that again.
He was down here watching his younger brother Sean playing.
This is how he came in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Apparently, he was going down to the tennis club and decided, or was persuaded by his by people on the team to come this way. And thankfully, he did. And the rest is history, as they say. You know. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You had the pleasure of coaching him while he was younger?
I did. And, you know, he was always courteous, always a gentleman, really, before his time. Never any trouble. On the metrics of behaviour on a bus, he was top of the class. Didn't cause any problems on the bus, which is always very important at under 13 level. He was a pleasure, really. Yeah.
But if he was 13 when he took up rugby, yes. Was it evident pretty early on that he was going to be a bit of a star?
Yes, in the sense that physically he had all the attributes, and you felt that he was going somewhere, and he picked it up really quickly, and that was probably due to his forward coach Ray Dignam, who was really influential, I would have thought, in his first year, and he was like a sponge, and so much so that the team above us, the 14s, they were taking him from us on the weekends that we weren't playing, so he clearly took on to it very quickly. Yeah, absolutely.
And his size is, and his power are such attributes of his, but what else do you think it is that makes him so special?
It is just his physical presence, but also he's got a skill level that is not really always that evident until you watch him later. His athleticism, really, and the physicality. Yeah. We started him off in the centre, which is not exactly where he was going to end up, but the idea was to give it to him, and let him run because he had those attributes, that was only about one or two games, and quickly he went into the forwards, and he came on from there, and to where he is now. Yeah,
Richie hasn't had the most straightforward of runs. He's been dogged by injury the last couple of years. It shows a lot of resilience for him to come back, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just to reflect back to your last question as well, one of the standout things about Edwin as well is the fact that the knocks that he's had, as you mentioned there, it would be rare for someone at his age to come back from one of the injuries that they have, but to come back from multiple injuries and to show the grit and determination that he did. As part of his rehabilitation, he kept very close contact with the club here as well, and he could be found here at any random time doing his training. Very low key, he'd be on the bottom pitch here where no one would see him going through his drills, or he could be up in the gym in early hours when there's nobody around, just getting the work done. And I suppose that's a testament to the grit and determination that he has, and it's proven him well to get to where he is today.
It showed as well the talent that he had, and you were saying earlier that Munster kind of kept him on even though he had.
So his pathway, in a sense, he's finished his academy term when he got offered the full senior contract, and at that time he was also injured, so it was evident then as the ability that he had and the future that he had in the sport, and was seen by people who know an awful lot more about rugby than what we do, and then it happened twice. And he's still back. So as we know, he's only back this season after the most recent injury. And to go from the start of this season just now into the Irish squad is truly massive.
And how important is it for Cove Pirates as a rugby club to have someone on the international stage?
I've been asked that numerous times over the last few days, and each time I'm asked that, I struggle to put it into words, as does everyone else in the club. I suppose to go back to what Nicholas said there a while ago, it's about our sixes, sevens, eights, and nines that are here there today, and they see Edwin coming in the gates to watch the underage games, and he comes up to watch our adult games as well, and to have him as a role model who's still very much part of the fabric of the club. There's no better role model than that for any junior club or any senior club for that matter.
You've been getting a lot of well wishes from other junior clubs around the country.
And offer tickets for the game, which generally are like hen's teeth, but in fairness, anyone that has a spare ticket, the first port to call in the last couple of days has been to Cove to see if anybody wants to go to just to be part of Edwin's big day,
And you're going to show the match here, Nicola? You're expecting a big crowd?
Yeah, we are. To be fair, James Stanton, our bar manager, always does an epic match day up here in Cove Pirates Clubhouse. Now, we're going to bring in pretty much as many people as we can who have been involved with Edwin over the years. Myself, Kevin will be here, and Richie, and our committee, our trustees, some of his teachers from his secondary school, Colossian Mirra, and more of the coaches. Now, obviously, some people are going to hit the road to Dublin. Dublin and see the man live, please God, when he does come on. And I'd say the roar from the Cove Pirates supporters will be absolutely, and the Cork supporters will be absolutely epic when, please God, Edwin comes on the pitch, down at the Gansey, like, so we're really, really looking forward to it.
Will you be very nervous watching the game if it comes on, Chris?
Yeah, sure, certainly. But having said all that, full confidence in him. You know, you've seen him playing for Munster, and he was seamless. He gets into the game seamlessly. So nervous, but confident too. Yeah, I would say.
Richie, we saw Andy Farrell during the week speaking about the journey that Edwin's had so far. We've also seen some projections of him up on Belvedere Castle. What's the atmosphere like around Cove as a town in general?
Yeah, it's fantastic, and fair play to John out in Belvedere Castle. They're very proactive across all the clubs in Cove. And again, the well wishes that we're getting from the other local clubs, I won't name any in case I leave somebody out. But it's been fantastic. I mean, not a Cove in aid of myself, but having to go back to the time where Sonia O'Sullivan was still competing, and it's akin to that kind of atmosphere across the whole island.
There's a right buzz around the place, so
neglect. Oh, there is, yeah, absolutely. Like, even, I suppose, I have kids that are in the secondary school, and I'm teaching over in Carrigaline, and they know my affiliation to Cove Pirates. We always have the bit of banter in class, you know. But when they saw Edwin getting onto the squad, they even said to me, "Nice one, miss," you know. So, look, it's spreading across the harbour to Carrigaline as much as it is around the town here. But yeah, we're just extremely proud, and as Richie said, like, you cannot reiterate how important it is for a junior club to have someone of Edwin's stature being chosen for the squad, you know, and coming through the way that he has.
And best luck. I'd say I better let you go because you've probably got kegs and everything to be filling ahead of the day.
Thanks a million.
Yeah, great stuff from all those in Cove Pirates RFC. What a day for the Ozogbo family. Edwin Gitney's first cap for Ireland. Moving on now to a bit of football, and Cork City had their first game back playing League of Ireland football last night, albeit in the First Division once more after our miserable relegation in the Premier Division last season. There was a decent sized crowd of over 3,000 in the Crossford, however, who saw City's 91st minute winner from Rory Keating against Treaty United. Thrilling stuff altogether in what was an absolutely terrible game of football. But look, we'll blame the wet conditions for that one on this occasion and the bit of rustiness from the layoff as well. But after the game, our very own Rory O'Hagan caught up with new gaffer Aberdeen man Barry Robson after the game.
Barry, a huge 3 points there in the end, and a fantastic finish from Rory Keating to get the 3 points.
Yeah, it was. I think it was difficult. I think when you actually go out on the pitch, I think everybody's done so well to try and make it look like it does, and but it's been so difficult for everyone. We've never trained on grass, and that tonight, the pitch was really heavy. It was, and that's no one's fault because they do great here looking after the pitch. It was a real leveller in the game, and I had to probably change a little bit. We went a bit more direct than we normally would, and the game kind of levelled out in that sense. But I still think we created enough chances to score probably two or three goals there tonight.
You had said that Treaty United would be a difficult team to break down. They proved to be.
Yeah, they come here, they slow it down for the goalkeeper, they walk up the pitch, they go long, they take throw-ins. Fine, that's fine. No issues with that. That's fine. We just have to be quick on what we do. And as I said, we got the win tonight. We had the lion's share of possession without playing particularly up to where we want to be. But we've got to score more goals than we did because there's some really good chances there tonight. We should have probably two or three goals.
That being said, you get the 3 points the opening night. It's always a good result, and I suppose, considering how late it was, you might have been a little bit worried there towards the end.
No, I wouldn't say I was worried. I knew we had a goal in us. I don't think they really threatened us that much to keep the clean sheet, which was important. But as I said, it was the first game of the season. You know, there's a bit of tension on it. I thought we looked a wee bit jumpy first half. The boys in there as well, they were saying that's their legs are as difficult as they felt. So we got the 3 points. Great mentality to go all the way at the end. That's what I've said to them from the minute I've came in. Keep going all the way at the end, and they've done that.
I'd heard a lot of talk about Killian Murphy in pre-season. The lad comes in, makes a senior debut, looks like he's been playing in the league for years.
Yeah, he's a proper footballer. We actually, as the game wore on, we changed shape, changed system, it actually helped us, and we got him on the pitch. He's been knocking on my door to play since I've came here. He's got a real energy about him. He makes good decisions, and he's going to play in this team, and he's going to be an important part of this team. And for the minute I came in, I saw him my first day in training, I said he's going to be a big part of this.
Rory Feely went off injured. Any word on him?
It's no injury, it was just cramp. It was similar from other players with the softness of the pitch, but same for both teams. But I think to be fair to Treaty, they probably sat in a lot more. They never had the what we were trying to go at. But I thought, listen, credit to them, I thought they did well. They tried to slow the game down, but listen, I think we deserve to win the game in the end. I don't think there was a doubt on that with the chances we created, but we'll get better.
Maguire and Keating are a formidable partnership. You saw glimpses of that tonight.
Yeah, and as another one as well, and people forget about Keats up front. Like, he's been out a long time, yeah, and he's going to need games and games to get up to his level where we're wanting to get him to as well. So people tend to forget that. So we're working him hard in the background, and the more games he gets, he's got goals in him, and that's why he always stays on the pitch there, because he's got goals in him. And listen, I was pleased with the players tonight, because that was a difficult night for them, yeah, and I always knew it would be. We trained in the first time in the whole of pre-season on grass yesterday, and after that I went, well, this is going to be difficult tomorrow, yeah. So I'm really pleased with the mentality of the team.
And for Hansen Palmo to make his debut and come up with that assist as well, he's a terrific game.
Yeah, you can see the speed of him. He puts teams on the back foot. Just probably his decision making will get better the more we work with him. But yeah, you can see he's got that speed, and he can eliminate teams. But I thought he did well in the game. But I think all of us, I think the team will get stronger as the season goes on. But as I said, really, really pleased for the first time they've been on grass and getting the result. And as I said, I think we probably deserved another couple of goals here tonight.
Finally, just a word on the man of the match, Greg Bulger, 37 years of age, but you wouldn't think of that looking at him tonight.
No, I thought he did well. Second half, I said to him in the first half, he needs to get better, to be fair, and being honest with him. He's a good footballer, he's important to us. But yeah, I thought the game grew, he got a bit better. But as I said, first half, I said to him half time that he needs to get a bit better. And to be fair to a lot of our players, I wouldn't say they were right at their peak tonight, but you've got to remember it's our first game.
Thanks, Barry. Well done tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to hear there from New City gaffer Barry Robson. We're going to hear now from the goal scorer and match winner, Rory Keating.
Okay, I'm with the man with the best first name in the business, Rory Keating. Rory, how much of a relief was that to get the 3 points at the end tonight?
Yeah, huge. I mean, look, it's never going to be easy starting out. It's, teams are going to come here and make it difficult for us. And we just need to keep, plugging away. And like we did in the end, we just never gave up. On another day, it could have been 5-6. So, look, we're going to stick to what we know and, play our best. And we'll be okay once we get going.
That Treaty United team are dogged, weren't they?
Yeah, very, yeah. Look, like I said, teams are going to come here and set up and make it difficult for us. But we just, if we're on our game and focusing and concentrating, we should be okay.
You had a number of, half chances tonight. Before you got the goal, was there any kind of doubt in your mind, like, this isn't going our way tonight?
Feels like that at times, but look, like I said, just keep plugging away. We know what we have in the dressing room. We believe in our ability, and we're good enough to get over the line, and thankfully tonight we got off on the right foot.
Hans and Pogba sent you up, and he had a terrific game for Sexton.
Yeah. Look, Hans he's got so much qualities. He's a great kid, and he's a lovely fella, and he's got so much ability, and he'll only get better and better as the season goes on, so it's great to have him here.
Killian Murphy came on and changed the game for you. He's 16 years of age, but it looks like he's been playing for the football all his life.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Look, he came in with us for the start of pre-season and he just hasn't looked back. I mean, look, he's 16 years of age, he's incredible. I've never seen anything like it, but as long as he keeps his head down, then he's going to go a very long way. It's great to have him as well, so young, and to come on and help us and be around us, it's excellent. It's only going to help.
And yourself and Shawnee, obviously a formidable partnership, and you saw glimpses of that tonight.
Yeah, look, like I said, I'm coming back from a long-term injury, and Shawnee's trying to get back as well. So as long as we stay fit and as long as we stay healthy, I think there's nobody that can stop us.
Yeah, obviously getting 3 points first day of the season was obviously the goal, and you got that tonight. Is that a bit of a monkey off the back tonight?
100%. Yeah, it's been a long time. It's I was thinking there before the game. It was last March, last time I played here, last time I scored. So it's very nice to be back and to play on grass again, and to get that goal again. So look, we just hit the ground running and just don't look back.
Yeah, I was speaking to Barry Robson there, and he was saying, look, your entire pre-season's been on Astro, and then you come to play on grass. It's kind of a difficult transition.
Oh yeah, it's tough. I mean, we only got on the grass yesterday, and I mean the cup final, it's not really grass. It's like, you know, it's different. It's half and half. So I actually, whatever about the boys, you know, it's really difficult to be on one surface for so long and then transition onto something you're not used to. And like I said, it's last March since I played on grass, so it's going to have that effect, you know. But I'm just delighted we kept plugging on and we got the 3 points. That's all that matters.
How have you found working under Barry so far?
It's been brilliant. It's been a breath of fresh air. I mean, you know, he's excellent. His, you know, what he wants to do, and you know, his views and the way he wants to play. It's, you know, it's going to excite a lot of people, and I think it's, you know, it's going to be great times ahead here for us.
Yeah, you can see that tonight. You wanted to get the ball forward at every opportunity, hit the two wings, get the ball into the box.
Yeah, just play fast. You know what I mean? Like, we've got the quality here, and we've got the players that can play quick, and you know, we've got really good players who can look after the football. So we got to use that, and you know, just keep getting at people, and we'll cause all sorts of problems.
Thanks, Rory. Well,
appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, brilliant stuff from Rory Keating there. That's all we have time for in the first half of the show, but stay with us as we have look forward to the Cork Footballers clash versus Offaly tomorrow. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. And football first now, when Aston Villa have taken the lead at home to Newcastle United in the FA Cup fourth round this evening. Tom Ross has the latest from Villa Park.
Aston Villa 1, Newcastle United 0. Tammy Abraham's putting Aston Villa ahead in this FA Cup. So it was a clever free kick by Villa, but Tammy Abraham's looked offside, but of course no VAR in cup games, so he got away with it. Aston Villa 1, Newcastle United 0.
To football of the other kind now, and earlier today I had the privilege of speaking to Cork football fanatic John McSweeney, who's recently set up the Cork Football Pod, a self-described therapy for Cork for long-suffering Cork football fans. I badly want a few sessions of that therapy, and it's a brilliant listen if you get the chance. It's on YouTube, and I believe maybe on Spotify as well. You can check out all his socials at the Cork Football Pod. Without further ado, we can listen in now to our conversation previewing the Offaly football game tomorrow. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by John McSweeney of the Cork Football Pod. John, thanks very much for taking the call, first of all. But how did the Cork Football Pod come to be in the first place?
Look, I suppose I've always had a big interest in the Cork footballers. I think I'd follow them 45 years. It's frightening to say it, like, but and it's something I had in my head there with the last maybe 2 or 3 years. I said, you know, there wasn't anything out there. And look, this year we were coming up towards the start of the league, and I said I'd have a cut off it. I'm not working as the hours I used to be. I'm at a scale back a bit that way. So I had the time, and look, I recorded the first one there just on the fly, and I sent it to my sisters, and they thought it was good. And I said, look, we chance Lodi uploading it. And look, I was absolutely taken aback by the response locally, and you know, online as well. I couldn't believe it. And look, Kieran Shannon, he did the piece on the Examiner the following Saturday, and that gave it a huge boost. But no, that's how it came about. But so that's the long and short of it.
Where can people find you, John, for those who want to listen to the Cork Football Pod?
Look, it's on YouTube. I'm on Twitter, Cork Football Pod on Twitter, and I look, anytime I post, I put anything on YouTube, I link it on the Twitter, but you can find it on the YouTube page, Cork Football Pod.
Brilliant stuff. You're saying you're supporting the Cork footballers now the last 45 years. Where are you from anyway? Presuming West Cork.
I'm from Dunamore. Yeah, just 15 miles out of the city. But yeah, 1981, that was my first Munster final, so And I've had the highs and lows since.
I would have said that was more hurling territory out there, John.
Not really, no. I suppose we are kind of, we're bordering Albaug and in Iscara on say the city side, and what you'd have Kilshannig and Clydedin would be on the other side of us. And it's kind of, I suppose we would have been traditionally more of a football club.
Mm-hmm. Is it tough making content about the Cork football team as opposed to when you look over and you see the success and the hype behind the Cork hurlers at the same time?
I think there's a way more material in the Cork footballers, because you look, the Cork hurling is kind of, look, it's brilliant and all that, like, but it's a bit same-ish. Like, you don't have the right. We had the tragedy last year, but you know, like, the Fallon Cork footballers there, it's real roller coaster. Like, you've the highs and you've the lows, and like, we kind of come in 20-year cycles, like, so you're kind of waiting for that. And but look, I think there's a way more kind of, I don't know how you'd put it, but kind of a personal story, and we're following the Cork footballers. And, you know, I'd listen to a lot of old podcasts there, sports podcasts, and I always kind of find them podcasts about, you know, fellas following maybe some obscure English football team there, and I, rather than the guys that follow Liverpool and Man United, they're easy to kind of talk about. But the poor fellow there that's following maybe QPR, since his father was a QPR fan, and do you know that kind of way?
Yeah, I get you. What are your favourite memories of following the Cork footballers from down the years?
I suppose, Jesus, my favourite memory. I suppose 2010 was a great memory. All right, I was the first year. Like, my son, he'd have been eight that time, and I remember we got the season ticket, and we went to all the league games, and I suppose realistically that was, and it was great. You know, he was kind of coming of age that he could follow them at that time, and that was nice. It was special, like.
I get you. And down through the years, who do you think are some of the finest Cork footballers you've ever seen?
That is a tough one. I suppose Anthony Lynch was a great cornerback. I suppose, look, who else? No, I'm trying to think. Michael Shields. I really like Michael Shields. Like, he was a fine player. You know, I wouldn't be going for the fellas, the standout names, because, you know, it's like that. It's the fellas that stuck with him, and the Alan O'Connors there, and then Pierce O'Neill's. You know, I felt that, you know, they were great players. Like, they mightn't have been the kind of the marquee names, players, but yeah, but they would have been. I think Cork footballers, supporters always really appreciate a player like, you know, a Pierce O'Neill, that type of player. You know, so they'd be kind of my, look, I'm obviously forgetting a few there now, back over the late 80s. There was great players there, but
you like the heads with a bit of an engine, then the dogged nature kind of.
I like the fellas with a bit of an edge. I suppose that'd be kind of my, I think we always need that, like, if when we're successful, we need a couple of fellas that can, you know, that can stand up to the, look, all the best teams have them, like, and we need that. Like, I see there Sean Walsh there, he's emerging at the moment, and he's raw, but he's abrasive, he's and he's doing that, he's getting stuck in, the crowd are backing him, and, you know, I think that's a big bonus. Like, he could become a fierce focal point for that Cork team in that respect. Like,
what have you made of Cork's league campaign so far? Albeit we were lucky to get the win over Cavan, I suppose, in the end, but then we went and beat Louth, who've been something of a bit of a bogey team for us over the last number of years.
Definitely, yeah. Look, yeah, I suppose, look, but looking at Cavan then against Meath, it's Cavan were a good team. It gave Meath all they could do to beat them. Like, so, you know, I'm really an awful lot into that. I was above at the Louth game then, and they, look, see, we this perennial problem with Cork football. We were well over them on the day, but we've this thing of not putting the dominance in the field onto the scoreboard. And, like, I think we won by 5 points. We could have won that game by 15 points. And look, I'd just be hoping that by the end of the league that's not going to come back to bite us, like. But we really start have to, when we are on top of teams, like, we have to start putting it on the scoreboard.
Are you heading to Tullamore tomorrow, John?
I am, yeah. I definitely I in for a penny, in for a pound now. So there'll be so, but yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. Look, we're well capable of winning that game tomorrow, but, you know, I hate tempting fate, like, but like, Fallon Cork footballers, like, in banana skins, are just, they nearly go hand in hand, like, anyway. It's kind of, so, look, but I think the theory and the management, look, we're not going to be complacent going up there, and I think what would be great is if we could get a Cork crowd up there, and, you know, when the players come out onto the field and they see, you know, a nice following, that'll kind of, I think that would be a real big boost to them. I suppose that's all. I do you know another thing about tomorrow is, I suppose with the season being so condensed, now like we're the chances of giving, you know, fringe players a run are limited enough. Like you're going, and especially because we're trying to get promotion, like we don't want to take any risks. But that's the only real concern I'd have for the way we're going at the moment. We're not, even though Darashidi came, I know, but I'd like to see another couple of players getting a run because as this season goes on, like we need the 21 players, you know, able to operate.
Absolutely. Are we in a good position, John, do you think, to finally bridge that gap between Division 2 and Division 1?
Obviously, I'm going to say we are, but look, there's a long way to go in that league yet. The one thing I would see then is that the big pluses I see this year now is, like, you had the three Seans, Sean Brady, Sean McDonald, and Sean Welch. They came into the squad last year, and they have, like, Sean Brady's injured now at the moment, but he's going to be a good player for Cork. Sean Welch and Sean McDonald, they're after kicking on now this year, and they've stepped it up a level. And like Sean McDonald there, now he's probably he's kind of a playmaker, Paddy Kelly type of a player. We haven't had a player like that with a good few years, very comfortable on the ball, and that's a big plus for us. Luke Fahey as well, he's after returning, and that's after making a huge difference. He's as good as any wing back in the country at the moment. He's playing outstanding, getting on the scoreboard and defending well. Another thing is our kick out. We've variation in the kick out now, which we hadn't with the last couple of years, and that's taking pressure off our midfielders. So that now they are the positives I see. So and also another thing is the conditioning. We are as fit now as any team in the country. We weren't for a couple of years there, and I think we're ready to take the step. And it would be unbelievable if we could get to Division 1. I think we'd have, obviously it'd be all about staying there then, but it would give us a great platform to kick on, you know, to get in contention for, you know, a semi-final, a championship kind of status.
Yeah, we need to absolutely some big clashes against Derry there coming as well ahead.
Definitely.
Do you think the new rules, such as you know, the 2-point arc, etc., have helped this Cork team?
They do, I suppose. Look, naturally, we're more of a natural footballing team, and I suppose, look, there was a lot of negativity around the Cork footballers there with the last couple of years, but a lot of that had to do with the way the game had gone. It had gone so defensive, and it never really suited us. You know, we were any team that kind of closed up shop against us, we found it very difficult. And say, that's why we played better against teams that were, you know, that were on paper better than us, because, you know, they'd come out and play and we'd play. You know, and we always look better against the better teams. So I think the new rules have helped us. It's more for us than against us.
Well, brilliant stuff. John, you remind us again where anyone wants to find you if they want to hear more from you over the coming weeks. Hopefully a big long championship in store for the Cork footballers.
Oh, hopefully. We'd have a good league campaign. We've Meath coming up there in the next, if we beat Offaly, we've Meath and Páirc Cliath. And if we're going into that with 6 points, like, you know, and Meath are as well, it'll be a big clash. We could be maybe revisiting the days of the late 80s. Maybe there could be sparks down there. You'd never know. That's going to be actually one of the next podcasts I'm going to do is a review of that kind of era, the late 80s, our battles with Meath. So that's going to be coming up. And obviously, if we get promotion to Division 1, I think that would give us a great platform then for going to Killarney. Now, that's assuming we get to Killarney, but look, we should be getting there. And if we get promoted and we take a good crowd down to Killarney, you know, you'd never know what would happen. Kerry aren't going to be, you know, firing on all cylinders at that part of the season. Like, so that would, like, if we could put in a good performance in Killarney and get Division 1 status, I think we'd be well set up for the rest of the season.
Brilliant stuff. So people can find you at Cork Football Pod, John, is that correct? Yeah,
that's right. At Cork Football Pod and Cork Football Pod on the YouTube, and I think I have an email there, corkfootballpod@gmail.com. And you know, I've got a good few emails from people, you know, especially good for people actually from abroad, and you know, where, you know, they have given me an awful lot of information and pointers towards, you know, things I could discuss, and that's been excellent as well.
Brilliant stuff. Well, John, best luck with the pod. It's been great listening in, and hopefully we'll talk again maybe in a few weeks after maybe a big result or two. All the best, John.
Thanks a million, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from John there. Be sure to check out the Cork Football Pod, available on YouTube, as you heard there. In rugby-wise, the Calcutta Cup has come to its conclusion in Murrayfield, and it finished Scotland 31 points to England's 20. The Six Nations well and truly opened wide. So we're going to hear the full-time report from Stuart Cameron.
Scotland 31, England 20. What an extraordinary match, an extraordinary first half as well. Scotland scoring three tries through Hugh Jones, Jamie Ritchie and Ben White, all converted by Finn Russell, who also landed a penalty. For England, a Henry Arundel try converted by George Ford, and a Ford penalty put them into double figures. But Arundel's two yellow cards meant England were down to 14 men for a 30-minute period, rolling over into the second half. So Scotland were 24-10 up at the turn. It was England who scored first in the second period, though George Ford kicking a penalty in front of the post. Ford then attempted a drop goal, but it was charged down by Matt Fagerson, who passed to Hugh Jones. He raced in unopposed to get a try bonus. Ben Earl got a consolation converted try at the end for England, but this was Scotland's day. They played well in attack and defence this afternoon, and they totally deserved their win, which gives them the Calcutta Cup. The final score, Scotland 31, England 20.
Yeah, I've seen on Twitter, the only two teams now that can win the Triple Crown, funnily enough, are Ireland and Scotland. You would have had England nailed on to win that before the Six Nations got underway. We're going to hear now from quickly from our sponsors of the show, Energia.
Energia AIL updates on the Big Red Bench. With Energia, think of the possibilities.
AIL update. So thanks to Energy, I think, of the possibilities, and unfortunately I can't provide you with an update on Ballincollig's clash versus Blackrock College in the Blackrock College rather than clash there. I'm scouring every corner of the internet, but nothing doing at the moment. I'll see if I can get a result on that one before we wrap up. But we're wrapping it up after this one. And the Cork LGFA seniors rearranged Lidl LGFA National League Division 1 clash away to Armagh takes place now tomorrow, the 15th February, in St. Oliver Plunkett Park across McGlen with a 1 o'clock throw-in. And Cork LGFA senior captain Emma Cleary spoke to the Big Red Bench to preview the big game and review the Cork seniors' positive start to the new season and how the new LGFA rules are making for a better spectacle.
Now, the Cork LGFA seniors rearranged Lidl National League Division 1 clash with Armagh takes place on Sunday, February 15th with a 1 p.m. throw-in. As we record this interview, a venue for that league game has yet to be confirmed, but it is going ahead, weather permitting, on Sunday. Glad to say that Cork LGFA senior captain Emma Cleary joins me on the Big Red Bench to preview the game and look back over what's been a positive start to the new season. Emma, you're very welcome back to the bench.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on again. Okay, last weekend Cork were due to play Armagh up in Armagh, but the game was postponed. Can you just take us through what happened as a squad and how you found out and what happened afterwards?
So we were due to travel up on the Saturday with the game being at 1 o'clock on the Sunday. We kind of got wind of it alright on the Friday night that the pitch mightn't be available. I think the pitch we were playing on was quite close to Newry, and there was orange weather warnings above and down for the weekend and stuff, so we kind of had gotten wind, but we got confirmation then at around 9:30 on Saturday morning. So we kind of needed it early, because I suppose the likes of Anya Terry and even the girls from Clan and Castlehaven and stuff would be travelling up to meet us in Rochestown anyway. So we just trained as normal on Sunday morning instead, and just kind of preparing as normal this week now for the game on Sunday.
And yeah, that's the thing. This time of the year, you're going to get postponements. You see it in hurling and football as well at this time of the year. So I presume, like the more experienced players on the Cork panel like yourselves, you'd be, you know, this is just something you just have to accept at this time of the year and anticipate. But it sounds like you just got on with business as normal. And how have the training gone since then?
Yeah, exactly. Sure. We even know how, you know, even around Cork, like how tough it is to get pitches this time of year with the weather and stuff. We just had to get on with it, I suppose, when we found out. And we were due to have a break weekend next weekend anyway, so we kind of probably flipped the schedules around a little bit. So we had a heavy enough tough session now yesterday morning, and we'll just build into the game now this week.
Yes, in this particular game, Armagh, like, they're coming into the game having lost 2-14 to 8 points to Waterford on the opening weekend. They bounce back to defeat Kildare, a team you drew with 13 points to 9 in Kildare. They're always difficult to beat, as you well know. They may be short a few regulars like Cork at the moment as well, but the likes of Kelly Mallon, Aoife McCoy, Maeve Lennon have been scoring well in the early weeks of the new campaign. And then you've got the manager, Gregory McGonagall, who knows all about Cork, and he's faced Cork down through the years. This is going to be a tough test. It's another tough test for this new look Cork team, Emma, but that's the way it is in Division 1, and that's the way you want it right now.
Exactly, yeah. We definitely know it's never easy travelling up north to play those games. I suppose we've played Armagh away a few times now in Championship. I think even the All-Ireland quarterfinal there a few years ago, we only beat them by a point above in Box IT. That day, they're always going to be a tough test, and as you said, they've real firepower up front at the moment. And even there, Lauren McConville, centre back, like, I think she was player of the match the last day, like, driving on and stuff as well. So they have a talented squad. And I suppose it's the results are kind of all over the place in Division One at the moment. You have teams beating teams that have been beaten by others, and I suppose kind of different results being thrown up that kind of it just emphasised the importance of every game, I suppose. And yeah, they'll be a very tough test, but we're really looking forward to it. And I suppose this weekend probably helps with the two Ashburn girls back, who were playing on Sunday with UCC. So Evie Fahili and Leah back for this weekend, which is a plus for us.
Yeah, you mentioned there as well, life in Division 1, it's been a bit odd in the first couple of weeks of the new season. Waterford sitting top of the table, 3 wins out of 3, and then Dublin at the opposite end without a win. Now, I know Dublin are experimenting and looking at a lot of players right now, and Waterford under Tomás McAteer, I know somebody you would have come across as well, going really well. But from Cork's point of view, Emma, 3 points out of 4, the draw with Kildare and the win over Galway, positive steps all the way through it. I mean, like, if I'd have said to you at the start of the season, would you take 3 out of 4, considering, again, all the young players that have come out to the panel, you'd have taken it?
Yeah, look, definitely. I suppose maybe the first day against Kildare, you could probably say maybe there was a bit of nerves there, and it was kind of our first home game, and we probably maybe put a bit too much pressure on ourselves. But I think we really just went out and expressed ourselves against Galway and put in a really good shift against Galway and really ground out that win. But look, three out of 4 points is a positive place to be at the moment. In the league, you just want to pick up as many points as possible, it's not a bad return for the first two games anyway.
The new rules as well were the big talking point the last time we spoke before the season started, because it was new to yourselves. You're finding time to, you know, on the training pitch. Yeah. 2 games into the National League, I've seen 2 different games from Cork. This is just my perspective now, you can agree or disagree. All out attack against Kildare, the new rules on show, solo and go, everybody, as you said, first day going a bit mad. Second day against Galway, a bit more measured, a bit more controlled defensively as well from Cork's point of view. But from the Cork captain's viewpoint, how are you finding adapting to the new rules, and do you think they've enhanced the game?
Yeah, look, they've definitely enhanced the game. As you said, yeah, we definitely improved maybe in the Galway game in terms of the rules. Like, there is a lot of getting used to with them, and we're doing a lot of work in training with them as well. I suppose even the solo and go and stuff, even sometimes knowing, like, when you're in maybe a scorable position like that, Katie can throw over free, that you don't always have to do the solo and go. And I suppose there, even the last day against Galway, it's like we were a point up there with only a couple of minutes left, and they were looking for a 2-pointer, and the week before Kate Levin had been putting over 2-pointers, so it was really important that we had to defend that arc, and it was kind of a different way of defending and stuff, so we had to manage that. So look, we're definitely not perfect at them yet, but I think we're doing a lot of work at them at training, but definitely enhancing the game and speeding it up and everything.
And you mentioned as well, like, this is a time of the year where managers like to experiment with their lineups, and you've got a lot of different players coming onto the team. Just off the top of my head, you mentioned Leah Allen, who'll be back involved now. You've also got the likes of, oh, I don't know, I mean, you've got Amy Corcoran, you've had Katie Horgan, you've had Abby O'Mahony in the midfield, settling into the midfield now against Steve Healy. You're on the 40 there with Grace Nimuraku from Neva Vaughan, another player who's shown up really well in the opening couple of matches. A different Cork setup and a different team too, that was something you would have been used to over the last couple of years, but one that seems to be developing along nicely.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's loads of girls, as I said, putting their hands up at training. And to be fair to Joe, he's kind of going with the girls who are showing at training and stuff. Like you said there, like, you know, I think the likes of Amy Corker now is really coming into her own. This is probably her second season starting, and she was excellent the last day against Galway, I thought. Even Simon Goldrick there as well, kind of finding her feet at centre-back there, I thought was excellent as well the last day. So I think there's, and as you said, we've had a few, the team was kind of different from the first day out against Kildare, different girls getting different starts, and that's what you can do in the league, I suppose, which is great. But I think girls are really putting up their hands at training, and you know, that's what you want.
It certainly is. Early stages of the Lidl National League Division 1 season, but Cork going very well, 3 points out of four on Sunday, February 15th. Cork will, for the second time, will travel up to Armagh to play their third round game. It's got a 1 p.m. throw-in. Don't know where the venue is just yet, but I'm sure they'll find one between now and then. But for now, all the best with that, Emma Cleary, to you and the Cork setup. And thanks very much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench.
Thanks, Will.
Okay, safe travels to all heading up to Cross McGlenadies for that one tomorrow, and safe travels to all the Cork teams and supporters headed to Tullamore to support the Rebels in what could be their third win of the League Division 2 season. Hopefully a good day in store for Cork football on all fronts. That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off. Enjoy the games tomorrow if you're heading. Have a great evening. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.